Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Talking Titans, taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. By the way, very quickly, some kind of, sort of, not really news from earlier today. The Athletic reporting that the Memphis Grizzlies apparently have interest in trading for Kevin Durant. So they're one of like
Shams?
Nine. Yeah,
Shams got this?
He did. So one of like nine teams that he names in this report.
Are there potential terms mentioned?
I think they are, let's see here. Not really specific terms. I don't think they have much interest in trading.
John Morant, Jaren Jackson. Yeah. Well, hey. So I would be very interested to see Kevin Durant with the Memphis Grizzlies, playing with John Morant.
So we'll see what happens.
Morant, Durant.
It would just be those two. They'd trade everybody else to get him.
Yeah. I'd still watch.
Yeah, me too.
We'll see what happens on that front, if anything at all. But wanted to pass that along. A little bit of intrigue earlier in the program.
I like it. May as well get in there.
615-737-1025. Megan on the text line says, has Willis been throwing to Burks often in training camp or targeting other receivers more? I'm just curious. Maybe Tannehill has better chemistry with Burks than Willis does. This is coming from Megan on the text line.
I would say in terms of camp, it's been quite, you know, Willis has thrown to Burks quite a bit. You know, Burks, again, this kind of goes to what we've been talking about. Burks and where he is in the pecking order. I mean, it's not like he's swimming in first team reps. Now, he's getting some, but he's getting a lot of reps with the backups too, and that's where obviously Willis. But like even in like 7-on-7, there's a lot of different periods where all the quarterbacks end up really throwing to all the receivers a lot. I mean, it's, you know, there's plenty of reps to go around, different guys with different guys. When it's team stuff, I mean, Tannehill mostly is throwing to Woods, Westbrook-Ikhine, Hooper. Then you get in some Phillips in there, and then you do have some McMath and Burks as well. I would say Tannehill has better chemistry with all the receivers because he's just right now a much, much better quarterback than anybody else on the roster. So that right there, the ball's out. It's on time. He knows where people are supposed to be, and he throws it better than everybody else.
No, that's generally a pretty good sign there at that point. One thing I did take away from the game Saturday, Joe, I'm pretty excited to watch Kyle Phillips return punts this year. I mean, there's one of them that's kind of an adventure, but it was a good return on that play. And then the second one, you know, he stumbled a little bit towards the end. He was, you know, maybe a tackle away from breaking that thing. It was, I think he's going to be a fascinating guy. We've talked about him in the receiver game, but punt return, which, you know, the return game has basically become an afterthought in today's NFL. I understand that, especially kickoff return. But I think Kyle Phillips, he might have something there returning punts this year.
I think this is the first time since Adoree Jackson's probably second year when there was still hope that he was going to be, you know, a difference maker as a returner. And I want to say he had a really big and important return and a win at Jacksonville, which was actually significant at that time. It's the first time since then that you've actually thought, wow, the Titans might actually have something that could really help them at punt returner. So, yeah, he's going to be fun. He's going to have some good returns this year. He's just extremely good at changing direction. He's extremely shifty, tremendous feet. And so that'll help him in that way. And although he's not big, he's slight.
He is.
But he takes those hits. He seems to be pretty tough. And obviously, you're going to see him some in the offense too with those quick feet. So he's fun. Real quick on, you know, on the Burks discussion. And we've talked about this a lot, but I got this stat sent to me. So in the Burks discussion, I've made the comparison a lot, right? A.J. Brown. This is what you hope for. What you hope for is you get some big plays early in the year, and then eventually, like, he becomes essential. Now, it is different. At this point in A.J. Brown's first training camp, we all knew A.J. Brown's going to be
a player
for this team. He's trending toward it. But still, first game of the season at Cleveland, Titans rolled. He played 25 snaps. You know, that is officially 42% of the offensive snaps. So he was not, at that point, ready. And I'm trying to even remember in 2019, obviously Corey Davis is out there. I mean, I don't even remember exactly who all got the snaps. I mean, Tajay Sharpe, I think, would have gotten out there and gotten some of those snaps You know, it's not like they were loaded at receiver. But even then, with this talent that you saw looking really good in camp, knowing he's going to make a difference, and having a huge play in that game, one of those stick routes, and he takes it for a big play, he played, you know, 25 snaps. That's worth keeping in mind with Treylon Burks. I think it's going to be much the same thing early this season. And what you hope is there are some big plays sprinkled in there and that he more and more wedges himself into the offense.
Let's see here. Delaney had 5 catches for 55 yards that day and 2 touchdowns.
So you had Delaney Walker still. Although, I shouldn't say that was interesting because, of course, by midway through that season, you kind of knew that it was getting late for him.
AJ had 3 catches for 100 yards that day. And Derrick Henry, 1 catch for 75, touchdown. That screen pass.
That little throwback screen.
It may not have worked since then, but that's when it was very effective.
Who are you looking at? Who else had targets at receiver that day?
There was Deion Lewis with 4, Adam Humphries with 1, yep. Corey Davis with 3, and he didn't have a catch. Tajay Sharp with 2, Michael Pruitt 1.
Yeah, so Johnny
Smith 1.
So Humphries and Sharp rounded it out. Corey Davis, and then you saw AJ Brown. You saw the big playability. But again, even with that, those guys not doing anything. You know, he played 25 snaps.
Yeah,
in the game. So keep that in mind. It's going to be a process.
Switching to the other side of the ball, you know, I thought the Titans defense looked pretty good on Saturday. Now, they started Bud Dupree. He got some, you know, I would call it significant playing time. Caleb Farley was in there a bunch. You know, Monty Hooker played in the game as well. I came away from that game, Joe, and maybe it's because I was watching him and looking for him. But Rashad Weaver and Ola Danny to me are pretty good. Like they've carved out a role defensively, and I understand it's a Tampa Bay offensive line that was banged up anyway. And as the game goes on, less and less guys that are actually going to matter on the field are out there. But Ola Danny and Rashad Weaver, I think the Titans, not only with their starters are legit at outside linebacker, I think they've got a legitimately dangerous rotation at outside linebacker. Like, I'm not saying Ola Danny's going to become a household name in the NFL at some point this year, but I think they've got 4 guys, and Vrabel was raving about Adeney yesterday at the press conference. I think they've got 4 guys that they feel really good about heading into the season at that position, which you've been a Titans fan long enough, that has not always been the case here.
Yeah, no question. Adeney's wearing out guys who aren't going to play in some cases, but still, man, he just kept coming. And David Anine, also, Anine, and it's a work in progress on my part there. Also, you know, again, was out there making some plays. I mean, he's been a nice camp story. I could see definitely a potential for him, like on the practice squad. Honestly, like you look at him in some years with a Titans team, and I'm sure if you go around the league, he might be a guy who get more opportunities. I mean, he's a 5th guy right now, but I'm with you. Weaver especially. Weaver is a guy who there's no question. And I thought so last year. I thought so watching him in college. You know, 4-3 defensive end. Kind of looks like that sometimes too. Really physical. A guy who I'll be interested to see. I think you can give some rest to your 2 starters more. And we'll see if that ever happens with Harold Landry. They always talk about it. They don't do it. But maybe with Bud Dupree. And I think I'm not – if I don't smash my head on my microphone, I am not ruling out Rashad Weaver as maybe a first down, early down guy instead of Dupree. I mean, Dupree plays a great effort. He's been a good run stopper and all that stuff. But Rashad Weaver is just so physical and big. It's going to be really interesting with him in particular. I think Adeney is great to have as a depth guy, and if you lose someone – you know, then he can come in and you feel pretty good about that as your 4th guy. But I think their 3rd guy was in sub packages. I'm very interested to see what they do with him. I think you're going to see him out there in some important situations.
By the way, I saw Mike Herndon talking about this from PaulKaharski.com. T.R. Tart just absolutely blowing up and obliterating somebody on Saturday.
Yeah.
Like that battle with him and Naquan Jones. What do you make of that? Because it feels like Tart, you know, nobody ever talks about T.R. Tart. But he's, I think, going to be a pretty big factor for the Titan defense this year.
Well, don't forget, he was hurt last year for a good share of the season. And that opened the door for Naquan Jones, who did a really good job. But when Tyrann Tartt is right, Tyrann Tartt is disruptive. Yeah. And so, to me, he's definitely ahead of Naquan Jones at the nose. I think both of them make the team. There are a lot of guys in that D line who are pushing to. That's going to be really interesting. There, to your point earlier about the spots on the roster, like, you know, how important is it for them? How many do they want to keep? Because there's a lot of guys out there. Deshaun Hand has been out there a lot. We've talked about DeMarcus Walker out there a lot. But yeah, Tyrann Tartt, I agree. He doesn't get talked about enough. He is a nice piece to have to go with Simmons and Autry. And I think you start the discussion with him.
Well, and things to watch for this week on that front in terms of injuries. Is Nate Davis able to get it back out there this week at right guard? And is Denico Autry out there on the field this week as well? I mean, two things that it's not a big deal now necessarily when they're out in the preseason, but you'd like to see them back on the field sooner rather than later.
Yeah, if you want to talk concerns on defense, Denico Autry was such a big part of what they did last year and such a great signing by John Robinson. And he was banged up a fair amount last year too and fought through it, but we've seen very little of him in camp. Can you expect the same level of play from him this year? You know. Heidi, go to work.
Slow down.
And if you don't get the same level of play, what does that mean? They have other options. But Denico Autry is really important. I mean, it'd be good, I think, for the Titans to see him out there a little bit. They're not going to, you know, it's going to be very careful and all that stuff. But even maybe in one of these joint practices, see him out there against the Cardinals this week.
We'll have more thoughts on the Titans coming up next, including a position battle that continues to be more and more intriguing by the day. That's up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Forgot what the word text was for a second. 615-737-1025.
I was going to make a joke I won't make.
That's good.
It's good.
It's probably good.
Michelle's like, what?
You usually just go for it.
Yeah.
Probably a good thing you didn't.
Self-editing is important sometimes.
By the way, breaking news, a quarterback trade in the NFL. Are you ready for this?
Okay.
The Raiders are sending Nick Mullins to the Vikings for a conditional seventh-round pick in 2024. A new potential backup for Kirk Cousins has come from Tom Pelissero.
Well, Q3, 2, 1, before someone says, how about Kellen Mond, who, by the way, is
looks
not
like
good.
Totally punning on.
Why
yep.
They just did that. I remember last year, Kellen Mond, take over Kirk. Hey, actually, we're making fun of all the analysts around the NFL. And Malik Willis is going to take Ryan Tannehill. So, heard it last year. Watch out, Kirk Cousins. Kellen Mond is taking your job.
Third round pick, 66 overall for Kellen Mond.
So, yeah. Not happening, and it probably tells you a little bit about how things are going with him there.
Congratulations to Nick Mullins. Hope he enjoys himself in Minnesota. But there is some.
He's not bad.
He's all right.
He's okay.
615-737-1025. By the way, Gator Tim on the text line says, Joe, Bust Dupree, not Bud Dupree, Bust Dupree has never been a run stopper. He literally has zero tackles other than sacks, which is that's the literally. Is your favorite there.
Yeah.
The first thing I saw when I looked up Bud Dupree's stat sheet, it was his sack total in 2019 was 11.5. He had 68 tackles.
Yeah, like are you kidding, Gator Tim?
He's been a pretty good run stopper in his career.
He's actually has a reputation as being one of the best run stopping outside linebackers in the NFL with the Steelers, which to that point in 2019 with the Steelers, looking at Football Outsiders, which is a very good site, His advanced stats versus a run, he ranked 5th among outside linebackers as a run stopper. So, yeah.
PBN, baby.
That's right. He probably learned that in Blue Light Special Stadium way back in the day. But, yeah, no, Bud Dupree's been a very good run stopper. I just say this about Rashad Weaver because he's just so physical and so overpowering.
Relentless was the term that Rabel used.
Yeah, and I just wonder if, You know, do you save Dupree a little bit for, you know, for pass rushing if you can weave? Oh, if you can weave Weaver in. I did not mean to do that. And some early downs. I don't know. Something to watch. Something to consider.
Something else to watch. An interesting position battle going on right now at punter for the Tennessee Titans. Ryan Stonehouse in the game the other night. He was holding. He was punting. He was running for first downs. Anything you wanted Ryan Stonehouse to do, he was doing the other night. What do you make of where this stands right now, the battle between Brett Kern and Ryan Stonehouse, and what they're looking for out of those two over the course of the final couple of weeks before the regular season comes here now?
Another thing to watch this week, like, is Stonehouse, how much holding is Stonehouse doing? Because at some point it's like
that's a big deal.
Right, like they're trying to figure out it. Initially, they're trying to figure out, you know, what it looks like, how he's doing. If he keeps doing it, it's almost like they're getting him ready to do it in the season. Dude, what is going on with me in my head today?
I don't know.
So yeah, that's something to watch. I think it's a real thing. That's a tough one. Like right now, you know, I would still bet on Woodside as QB2. I think I would bet on Petit Frere as right tackle 1 to start the season. I still think that Caleb Farley is going to start, but the whole thing with McCreary is really interesting, and he's going to have a role. There is no doubt. I don't know. If you get to the punter situation, it's really hard. I've been kind of the mind, yeah, it's still going to be Kern, right? Come on, it's Brett Kern. They know they can trust him. Been so many years. As Vrabel said the other day, he's punting better this year than a year ago. Vrabel definitely, a couple times last year, expressed his displeasure with Brett Kern's punting. But if you think Ryan Stonehouse is a stud for the next decade for you, no, you're not going to have him for the next decade if you put him on waivers.
Well, and as Corey Curtis pointed out earlier, that's the decision. Like I think Brett Kern can still help you. But if you think you may have found a punter that can help you for another 10 to 12 years, that's a pretty interesting decision for John Robinson and the Titans. And Joe Rexroad caught up with Ryan Stonehouse after the game on Saturday against Tampa Bay. Here was that conversation between Rexroad and Ryan Stonehouse.
How do you feel about where things are right now?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I'm working hard to, you know, find a role on this team. And, you know, that's what I want to go show everybody, is that, you know, I can punt in this league, and that's kind of my goal.
So everybody's seen the booming punts, but obviously now you get a chance for some of the rugby, the directional stuff. How'd you feel that way? Because I thought that last one got a bad bounce, but it was probably about where you want to put that, right?
Yeah, I felt like the last two pooches that I got were better. I kind of did, we were trying to angle it more to the sideline, so I felt like I did that a little bit better. But yeah, that's definitely a part of my game I'm constantly working on. So
what's it been like with, you know, competing with a guy who, you know, has been the punter here for a long time,
yeah,
punter in this league for a long time, so there's like a, I assume, like a mentorship thing, but also the competition thing. What's that been like for you?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's been awesome being, you know, learning from Kern, like everything that he has to offer, just watching him practice or his routines and all that. But yeah, you know, this is definitely more of, I'm focused on myself and how I can, you know, compete against myself, honestly. So it's been awesome just to be around him and learn from him, but at the same time, yeah, the goal is still the goal.
How important do you think the holding is here, the operation of making sure everything is smooth?
It's extremely important, and, you know, getting Randy to trust me is a huge part. And so every day, just, you know, work on going and catching snaps before practice and during practice with him and holding the team, and hopefully, yeah, just making it stronger, our relationship stronger, you know what I mean? So it's important, for sure.
The one day, I think, last week, I think he missed three with you. Only was that you at any point? Like you know, in the final, when you came out of that, did you feel like there were holds in there that were a little off?
I mean, it's the whole operation, and at there is fault on my end, you know, but at the same time, yeah, I'm want to take accountability for how I'm holding, and if it's, you know, if we're off in rhythm or it's a changing of the holder, yeah, I want to make him as comfortable as I can. And I think I did that coming back the next day and, you know, get him down for him, put him in the right spots, and then, you know, getting the nod for the game hold. I think that was a an awesome experience.
So it's gotten better since then.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm working every day to improve it, you know, so it's been great.
All right, thanks, man.
Yeah.
That was Titans punter Ryan Stonehouse there with Joe Rexroad after the game on Saturday.
Hey, Ryan, remember when you had that 68-yard punt? That was awesome.
That was sick, bro.
I did. When I
Elite
came,
capital J journalism from Joe Rexroad there on Saturday.
Shine the light in his face. I want answers, Ryan. I actually went up to him, and he was, of course, on his phone, like all the kids are these days.
Yeah.
And I was like, what are you looking at, Twitter? And he was like, and for a minute, he was kind of like, I think he was kind of surprised. And he was like, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I am.
Figured.
Okay.
It was either Twitter or Insta, right?
Yeah.
Hey, people were talking about Ryan Stonehouse after that game.
He had a memorable game.
He did. So if I were him and just did what he did, I'd be looking at Twitter too, seeing all the awesome things people were saying about me.
I mean, he's if they don't go with him, he's definitely getting picked up, right, by somebody, I would think.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I don't have a complete grasp on every single punting situation across the league.
That's your homework for this week.
Yeah, I guess I'd like to actually see some punter rankings. And this goes along with my call for more punter awareness. I feel like someone would pick him up, yes. He's got a can. And again, I think the directional punting, it's not like it's a disaster. Like, it's not like he's a guaranteed touchback no matter what. You know, he's got the different style there when it's a short field, and I thought the last two were pretty decent. Like that, like I said with the question, you know, he put that one I think around the 6, and then it bounced back and went out of bounds like the 12 or whatever, but it was actually almost perfect. So he's not as good as Kern at that stuff, and I have no doubt that if you talk about, you know, short field punting, like, you are better off this year with Kern than Stonehouse. And you may be better off. If you're better off at all in holding, that still might give it to Kern, because it's like you can't mess around with Randy. I mean, Randy's got to be as good as Randy can be.
Randy's got to be as good as Randy could be, and you need that operation to be perfect. Look, as somebody who watched firsthand potentially the worst professional field goal operation of all time that I've ever seen last year with the Green Bay Packers, holder's pretty important.
See? It is. And I'm just excited that we're talking this much about punting, actually. I think this
McAfee
is,
would be very happy with us.
Oh,
right,
he
now
would be. So we don't have time right now, but did you see this Heidi hot take? Heidi's on one today.
I did. We'll have to get to that coming up next. We'll get to several hot takes on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com on the other side. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning. Talking Titans, welcoming your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Heidi from Dixon on the text line with a scorcher. You ready for this one? Says, quote, if I give J-Rob a 10% chance of getting fired next offseason, Burks might get 30 catches. Dylan Radins is a joke. Petit Frere might just be a placeholder player. All the draft failures and signings we had before them that failed, it's closer to happening than it was this time a year ago. Imagine if more question marks fall the wrong way than the right way. That's coming from Heidi from Dixon on the text line.
Just to correct you, she just called him Petit.
I know, but
Petit.
I have
Petit.
She did do that.
That would be unfortunate. If you're an offensive lineman and your name is just Petit, that's tough. That's tough to overcome. But it's Petit, like Frere.
A kicker whose name is Shank. It's not good.
yeah, wow. We haven't talked enough about John Robinson getting fired lately. I think that's so all those things. Here's the thing, Heidi, and I think this always has to be part of the discussion. He's had some misses. I mean, there is no doubt. And it's trending now to look like a first-round pick at offensive tackle, followed up by, you know, total zero, followed up by a second-round pick at offensive tackle who looks like, you know, journeyman, back better as a backup, not really starter-level player. That's what it looks like right now. And that's not good. And we'll see with Petit Frere, and we'll see with, you know, Burks this year. But my question for you, Heidi, is what does the team do this year? Because the overall team success has been tremendous under John Robinson, and that's ultimately how you judge a GM. You know, I think sometimes he's judged a little bit more on misses than overall success, just kind of like Chris Ballard is judged, like his overall success is not close, and yet I think a lot of people would still say he's done a better job, which I don't understand.
Makes no sense.
But that's like just how a lot of the discussion seems to go around these things. So, I mean, I think it's important to scrutinize all this stuff, and there are some questions that could break wrong for them this way, and it's not good for John Robinson. But as far as, like, his seat actually warming up, man, you got to have a big fall off on the field on Sundays for that to really be a legitimate discussion.
Well, they both just signed contract extensions.
Yeah, well, there's that too. I'm trying to gently rip Heidi's take because I'm like she's swirling around the studio with her waterbed left and right in the van. I don't know what the heck's going to happen with Heidi. I'm trying to be like low key here.
Well, I mean, it's not like she said 60. She said 10%, yeah, which I still think is high.
That's fair.
She said 10%. I mean, they both signed contract extensions. Neither one of them should be on the hot seat. Like, I get it. There have been some draft picks that have not gone well for John Robinson, and we'll see about Burks and Willis and all these other things. But like to your point, the number one job at the end of the day is still to win. And they've done a whole lot of winning around here. Now, it's hadn't gotten better in the playoffs, and that's going to have to get better at some point. And, you know, couldn't they do that this year? I think it's going to be a more challenging regular season this year, just given their schedule and who all they play and the depth of the conference, all those things. But they've still done a whole lot of winning the last few years around here with this group.
Well, and when you say they, you know, of course, I like to call them Vrabel together. Yep. It's efficient that way. I do think you separate them, and I think right now Vrabel's in discussions among best coaches in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean
that's reality. He is in discussions among best coaches in the NFL.
I need to go back on Odd Shark and see if he's still like in the top 10 of most likely coaches to be fired.
There's some interesting stuff out there.
There is.
And Robinson, I mean, he's had very good tenure, but I would say that right now you'd separate those two a little bit. Like Vrabel is kind of he's a rising star. He's a star, young star in the coaching profession in the NFL. John Robinson's been a very good GM. There's a little bit of separation, I'd say, between those two. Heidi, I hope you are, by the way, like pulling over, not doing this while driving. She says, and Farley and the backup running back that played 12 snaps, I demand more, wasting Henry's prime.
Well, what are we talking about with Farley? Like, Farley, he was hurt last year, and he's been on the field the whole camp so far.
Well, so. I will say you could have drafted Newsom, and he could have been a factor for you right away. I mean, we don't know but it's going to work out as a first-round pick. We don't know.
Right, but that's the thing. We don't know. Like, we got to see him on the field this year. You know, I've got question marks about him. We talked about that the day after he got drafted with the injury stuff. Like, he's so far so good during camp. He's been on the field.
Yeah,
but
yeah, you should feel better about him, Heidi.
There's a difference between practice to regular season games. I understand all that. But, I mean, I got an open mind on him this year. I'd like to see him on the field.
Yeah.
What happens there.
I think it's been encouraging. You know, I think it has been. I think the top four corners right now, provided Molden gets healthy, and you know, it's the best top four corner situation for the Tennessee Titans in, I would argue, a long time.
Kevin on the text line says, got to give J-Rob credit for Vrabel. He fired a playoff coach in order to get the star coach. There is that.
No doubt. And if you want to go back and read my Tennessean column when it happened, I was not a fan of the move at the time. I think there was a lot of questioning of that, although there was also some issues with Malarkey, and people were mad at Terry Rubisky, and that's kind of what J-Rob confirmed at the presser after the firing.
Yeah.
But it was a bold move, and it was for a guy who had one season as a D coordinator and had like the 30th ranked defense. Granted, all his key players were hurt, but you didn't know at that point that Vrabel was going to be what he's become. Or maybe J-Rob did. All I know is it looks pretty smart right now.
Well, it does. Now, the other part of this conversation is there is a salary cap, and I feel like last year – a very valid criticism of John Robinson was you basically did nothing to address tight end last year, and it was a problem. Like, the tight end was a problem for the Titans last year. You thought it was good enough with Firkser, and it just wasn't. It was not good enough. Obviously, they've addressed that. By the way, I thought Chig looked pretty good the other night out there in the preseason game. So you've got Hooper. You've got Okonkwo. I feel a ton better about the tight end position heading into this year. And now there's offensive line. Now, what you can't say is they haven't addressed it because they spent a first-round pick and then a second-round pick and now a third-round pick on right tackle.
Yeah, they've spent draft capital.
They have certainly they've certainly attempted to address it. I guess the question is, should you, if you were John Robinson and the Titans, and we won't know this, I don't think, until we get into the season, but should you maybe have gone and acquired a right tackle via free agency this offseason? I don't know. Maybe they still will.
Right. Like, does offensive line, is that this year's tight end? They expressed confidence that they liked their group. It wasn't good enough last year. So is that – because the thing is, it hurts you more if it's the offensive line, right?
Yeah.
And the offensive line took a big step backward last year. I do think that some of the belief about improvement this year revolves around LaJuan being Taylor LaJuan this year and not being a shell of Taylor LaJuan as he was for the first half of last year. But, yeah, that's the big question. And if they're – I mean, look, if they have a disappointing season and it has a lot to do with the offensive line – or if it and or has a lot to do with a receiving core that we still don't know how good it's going to be and still doesn't have A.J. Brown and still doesn't necessarily scare a single D.C. out there, well, John Robinson will be rightfully criticized for that. But you're still talking like there's that, and unless we're talking complete disaster, there's still a long way from that to hot seat.
Well, that's the thing where like I think the narrative can start to change a little bit on J-Rob this year. If it's worst-case scenario in this – and the receiving core is just not good enough, and A.J. goes to Philadelphia, and he just totally lights it up. That's when there's going to be a lot of people looking at J-Rob and saying, dude, what was that? You couldn't try to figure that out? But, you know, I don't think – I really don't think either one of those things are going to happen. I think A.J. Brown's going to be really good. I don't know if he's going to put up like 1,600 yards. And I think the Titans' receiving core will be fine. I don't think it's going to be elite, but I never thought the receiving core was going to be elite because I still think – there are limitations to what Tannehill is in the regular season, number one. And number two, they like to run the ball a lot. Like, they're going to run the ball a ton, whether A.J. Brown was here or whether he wasn't. So, I don't think that scenario is going to come to pass. I think your receiving core will be fine.
Yeah. And is fine good enough?
I don't know.
It is if you run the ball really well and you get the ball to the tight end, you have protection, you don't necessarily, but and also you have to have some vertical presence. So I think they really want to try to do that this year. I can't ignore what I'm seeing in practice. So McMath, Burks, you know, do they get some of that? To that discussion, by the way, I mentioned earlier A.J. Brown early in the season didn't play a lot, right, as a rookie. So first eight games of 2019 for A.J. Brown, 42% of snaps, 46, 49, 42. Okay, so that's around 20-ish snaps in those games, first four games. Then you go 65%, 58%, 63%, 61%. So you see where week five for A.J. Brown, his rookie year, it started to click. And he started to – and by the end of that year, we all knew before that, we knew
– he's our best receiver.
This guy's special. Yeah. So now if something like that happens with Treylon Burks this year, which to me right now, I'm not saying it will. I have a hard time – predicting that, but if something like that happens this year, then certainly I like where things end up with the offense.
I got a texter that says, if they don't win a Super Bowl in the next 3 years, then they may be at their peak and need to move on to I don't know who.
Talking about GM?
I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's what happens. You know, at some point it's hard to be a GM in pro sports and absorb the inevitable downturn. You know, the cyclical nature of pro sports is that you're going to at some point, you know, like Derrick Henry and Tannehill and Simmons, and you know, you're like, it's hard to maintain consistency. So yeah, that's possible. But right now at this moment, he's had a tremendous tenure as GM.
Heidi texting back in says they should have kept Conklin and Kelly.
Yeah. I mean, you can make the case.
Certainly.
Yeah. No, for sure. Heidi is hard to please today on the J-Rob front.
Heidi, very hard to please on the J-Rob front. More of your thoughts on the Titans coming up next. We'll give our final thoughts on the Titans and their preseason performance against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Look ahead to practice this week against Kyler Murray, Call of Duty playing, Arizona Cardinals coming up. Looking forward to that. Going to be a fun week here in Nashville. I've been looking forward to this for like 2 weeks, Rex Road.
You better get your jokes all sharpened up for next week, buddy. Or this week.
I can't wait. 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on 1025-1063 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee.
Okay, hold on. I got some breaking news.
Okay.
How about this? All right, this is dude, how many emails, like press release emails am I reading on the show lately? It's like getting really good. Ready for this?
I'm ready.
It's from Andrew Agan. Hi, Joe. Hooters is redefining what it means to be the big man on campus. Signing offensive linemen from Vanderbilt University to NIL deals. These players include Bradley Ashmore, Jake Ketchuk, Gage Pitchford, Junior Azebu, Julian Hernandez, and Gunnar Hansen.
Okay.
Heck yeah. Congratulations, fellas. Hooters, NIL deal, Vanderbilt offensive line. And by the way, they get to spend all week in Hawaii. Life is good.
Not bad.
Life is good for a Vanderbilt offensive lineman.
The Grease Gang. That's their name.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. The Grease Gang. Yeah.
Interesting
there
name.
Are jokes that I'm not going to use right now. Okay. Let's move on.
Like every segment.
So Professor K is like, oh, God, put me in the corner.
By the way, we've not talked about this yet. An NFL record established this weekend. The Baltimore Ravens won their 22nd consecutive preseason football game. The record in the National Football League. Congratulations to the Baltimore Ravens. Big deal up there.
Coach Harbaugh, congratulations. That's amazing stuff.
22 in a row in the preseason.
I mean, I honestly don't recall actually hearing what Harbaugh has said about this stuff. Like, does he just blow it off, or is he actually like, yes, we take pride in this? I just think it's so funny.
I think what I've seen him say about it before is the, anytime you take the field, you're trying to
win. Right, trying to win. Sure, it's better to win than lose.
Yeah.
I mean, you see on Hard Knocks.
Like, you can lose preseason games by, like, accident. Like, it just.
Yeah. I mean, again,
22 in a row.
Right. Like, just the idea that you would never be in a situation where you're like, okay, let's look at this, 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 and then the other team's third-string quarterback happens to score on your fourth-string.
Maybe their third stringer is just way better than everybody else.
Maybe,
I don't know.
Maybe it speaks to the incredible depth on their roster consistently over time. So what is that? That's about 6 years?
Yeah.
Six years worth of not losing the preseason. Man, very exciting.
Very exciting. Josh on the text line says, Titans have the coach. I believe we have the GM. We just don't have the quarterback at the moment. That's from Josh on the text line. That's going to be, I mean, eventually, we can talk about all these things. And we threw out the question earlier, do the Titans have what it takes to compete with the AFC's elite? Well, that's eventually what we're going to get back to in terms of figuring out the answer this year. Yeah, it's the defense. Yes, it's Derrick Henry. Yes, you're going to need, you know, good play from the receiving group, but ultimately, it's quarterback league, man. Like, can Tannehill play well enough this year to put you in that spot? And then if he does, can he play well enough in January? That's ultimately
what
we're going to get back to.
The answer has been here. The answer is all in camp.
Yeah.
You know, today, what does he do? What week does today correspond with in the season? I'm being facetious. I'll stop. Now, of course, it's going to come all the way back to that. Tannehill's had a good camp. He always does have a good camp. And we'll see. I think he is in a very different spot in terms of last year. It was like, let me prove to the NFL that I'm one of the elite guys. And this year, it's let me prove to the Tennessee Titans that I should be their quarterback after this year. That's a very different
It
mindset.
Is, although I will say right now, I mean, the gap between Ryan Tannehill and every other quarterback on this roster right now you know, Adam Vingan used the word chasmic, the gap between the Predators and the Avalanche at the end of last year. It's probably the same word I'd use for this. Like, it's a chasmic gap between Ryan Tannehill and every other quarterback on this roster right now.
No doubt. Now, the people who now the Titans fans who were talking about Malik Willis or the analyst about Malik Willis this year, dial a clue.
You've got to
be better than that. Titans fans who are big believers of Malik Willis who hope that there's not a chasmic gap next year, I'm not ruling that out as a possibility, but sure. it's a lot of work.
There's a whole lot of work that's going to have to be done before now.
A lot of work and a lot of things have got to consistently break the right way and go a lot better than they are right now. I'm not ruling it out, but I'm with you. Right now, I would predict that Ryan Tannehill is the Tennessee Titans quarterback in 2023 as well.
Liam on the text line says, I know it's kind of sarcastic, but please don't ever congratulate the Ravens for anything. Sorry. Ravens, people still not big fans of the Ravens around here.
Yeah, I think the Ravens might be really good this year.
I think they might be,
too. I think the Ravens are
right there. We start talking about the AFC's elite. You know, we talked about Buffalo. Obviously, Kansas City, until they're not Kansas City anymore, is going to be in that mix. Like, I think there's a chance Baltimore could be in that mix as well. I know everybody's talking about the AFC West, and I get it. Baltimore, I think, has a chance to be pretty good this year. I still have big questions about their receiving core. That, to me, is the one area that I look at, and I'm just like, eh. I don't know if that's going to be good enough.
Yep.
But defensively, I think they should be really good. If Lamar stays healthy, I think he's going to be really good.
And keep those running backs healthy.
Keep the running backs healthy. I think they're going to be a part of that group as well.
I do too. I might pick them to win their division. To me, Bengals Ravens is a really interesting, tough call, kind of like Colts Titans is to me.
Yeah. Wes in Clarksville on the text line. If Tannehill balls out this year, will they keep him and sign him to a new deal?
It depends on what that means. What does balling out mean? Does it mean he balls out and wins at least a playoff game? I mean, what does that consist of, you know? I mean, I have thought about that. Like, certainly, Tannehill could get another deal from the Titans. He could also be playing his last year for them. It's a fascinating point in his career.
It is. Now, there is something to keep in mind. Like, there's a difference between playing another year for the Titans and signing a new deal. Like, there's an in-between there. Like,
But there is potential. They're so happy with how this year went that another couple of years is coming. I mean, that's possible.
Yeah.
Right now he's under contract, and I think the way they're looking at it is that Derrick Henry and Ryan Tannehill are under contract for the next 2 years, and let's see how things play out. But I think the balling out would have to be some serious balling out for that to change.
I think it would. Warren asking how much does Tannehill have left on his contract. Well, he's through 2023, his base salary is $27 million, cap hit $36 million, and I think he's got the two voidable years after that. So,
yeah,
they could get out of it next year.
Yes.
And it would still cost him something. It's way more tolerable than it was this past year when it was like, what was the dead tax?
57.
Like $57 million.
Yeah. Now, you could do it if you're that. If it's like you got to do it, you can do it after this year. But again, like, for what? I mean, maybe Malik Willis. Yeah. By the end of the season, they're like, yep, that's it. He's going to be the guy. But if you watch him play now and consider that seems awfully far-fetched.
But honestly, though, like even now, with the money that you've got, unless you're just convinced heading into next season, even before camp, that Malik Willis is your guy and he's going to be your starting quarterback. And, you know, based on the way things are going right now, I don't know how you're going to be convinced of that next year.
I don't either. I don't know what information could be there. You know, once you get in the season, you know, either he's preparing as a backup or he's helping the show team.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, then yeah, how would you know? How would you be convinced?
So there's a chance, you know, Malik Willis, maybe he gets a lot better and he could push at camp next year.
Mm-hmm.
But even then, wouldn't you still like to have Ryan Tannehill
on the
team? I would
think so. Yeah. I mean.
So I'm becoming it's less and less likely to me. And, you know, I had a big open mind about this all offseason long. But, you know, so far in camp, I think it's way less likely to me, as we sit here today, that they're just moving on from Tannehill after this year. Even if Willis is a part of the plan next year.
I mean, the honestly, the more the most likely way that happens is they are convinced Willis isn't the answer. Tannehill has a bad year, and then they've got to go get new
somebody
starter.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know. Maybe we're circling all the way back around to
Mariota.
Mariota. Maybe he just has an incredible year in Atlanta. I don't know. We'll see what happens. That's going to do it for us today here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. Chase, Willie, and D-May is coming up next. This is 102.5, 106.3, The Game.